This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, welcome to the Star Wars Stuff podcast, where we talk about all things Star Wars. My name is James.
And I am Joseph.
And yes, sadly, David is not here today. So you're going to have to listen to us talk. But I feel like more people like you than they like me, so I think this
I don't know.
And I think they like you more than they like David and myself, so I think...
Can't possibly be true.
So this week in the world of Star Wars, on Friday... Solo came out, digital download. I don't know how many notifications I got. I didn't realize how many things I was following, online, to where it was like, I got Star Wars tells me, the Star Wars app tells me.
Yes.
I even think Disney sent me.
Disney sent you something?
Yeah, Disney sent me something.
So Star Wars, I bought it through Apple iTunes, so yeah. It took a long time for it to come out. I was getting frustrated because I was expecting it to come out around 11 hour time.
Well, I got a notification on 11 saying it was ready.
Must be nice. I didn't get one until 11:45. And I'm sitting there. I'm like literally on my Apple TV going, all right, when this episode's over, it'll be up and I can watch it. And then it never came up. Oh. And so finally, like right before I go to bed, it's like 11:45, 11:50, mm-hmm. and I get the notification. And I'm like... too late to watch it now, man. So my phone went off first, then it downloaded to my Apple TV right mm-hmm. away, and then it told me on my watch that I had it. Three in a row, just be like, ding, ding, ding. And then this morning, my Star Wars app was like, hey, guess what's available now?
Yeah, it was like, buckle up for Star Wars. I was like, heck yes.
I was like, yeah, man.
Yeah, so it was everywhere for me. And so I was pretty excited, cool. We were supposed to watch it today, but since David's not here, we're not gonna watch it without
a two-man commentary. Yeah, doesn't seem like it would flow too well, especially for people that didn't work on the movie. I think if one of us had some sort of a...
Agreed.
It would be better, but...
And plus, did you ever hear David's podcast where he did Solo about Solo?
Yes.
Like, he was talking about things I never even, like...
Yeah, I was like, okay, cool.
So I would want him to be here for that, because he'd probably point stuff out to us that we
know. He knows all sorts of weird behind-the-scenes stuff.
I don't know how he... Because I thought I did.
Yeah.
Until I met David, and I was like, well, I don't know anything about the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Well, and my thing is, I've always been into the lore of the mm-hmm. world more than... how they put it on the screen. I'm just hey, they put it on the screen. Awesome. I'm going to go watch it now. You know, when I hear all that stuff, I'm like, that's insane that they, you know, when mm-hmm. during the Battle of Hoth, where they had Luke run out of the hotel and stuff, I'd never heard that before.
Yeah, it was cold. It was really cold.
Yeah, I was just like, okay.
So there's this picture. I sent it to y'all. It's the picture that's going around where it's like guy in pink shorts was the sound guy for A New Hope.
Yes.
It's a funny picture. But if you look at that picture really closely, you see George Lucas in the bottom the bottom right corner.
Yeah.
And he just has his hands on his head. And you can just tell he's like, oh my gosh, this is not...
What have I got myself
into?
Because,
you know, we've all heard reports about how difficult that production was. Mm-hmm. But then that picture, you're like, geez, that was...
This dude is stressed out. No wonder he's all gray by the time the prequels roll around.
Exactly. And my friend Ryan Love, who's going to be a great director one day, I'm going to say. Ryan Love is going to win Best Director one day at the Oscars. He's an aspiring filmmaker such as myself. And I sent him the picture. And I told him a little bit what happened. And he was like, I didn't know the production was that difficult. I was like, dude, it was... Star Wars should never have been Star Wars. Like,
I just love hearing the quotes from the people that were acting in it, and they were like, we honestly didn't know what the hell we were making. It could have been anything.
Yeah, and then plus how easily that movie could have just been trash.
Yeah.
It could have just been another science fiction movie that came out, but...
Yeah. I mean, luckily, George's wife caught it in the edit. Jeez. And was like, let's change some stuff around to where it
thank God
actually flows and makes sense, because otherwise we'd have been we wouldn't have anything to talk about right now.
Yeah, we would not be talking about Star Wars at all right now. So this week, I heard something really cool from Ray Park.
Okay.
Saying, not, he didn't tell me personally, you know what I mean?
Like, I don't believe you. I know you've got the guy's digits.
Oh, yeah, he calls me up sometimes. Well, no, he was talking about, apparently he sat next to Ewan McGregor during the Solo premiere.
Really?
Either he was sitting next to him or like a seat away from him. And that whenever Maul came up, he was like hitting him and he was like, oh my, like he was like super excited that he was in the movie, to where Ray Park was like, I didn't even get to see the moment because Ewan McGregor was just hitting me the whole time. Like, oh my gosh, like you, why didn't you tell me you were going to be in this amazing movie?
I hadn't heard that.
I hadn't heard that either. I was like, that's awesome. That's really cool. And, I think that's exciting that even like Ewan McGregor was just as jazzed and
fanboyed out as much as anybody. Do you think Ewan McGregor, this is like kept up with the what his character did in all of the animated stuff?
I'm sure he did. I mean,
at least he like tangentially knows it.
No, I think of Ewan McGregor as a big as a fan as we are.
Yeah,
like hearing him talk about it and like hearing how far back Star Wars goes with mm-hmm. him to like. That's one of the first movies he ever saw because his uncle was in the movie. Yeah. So it's like,
of course.
Like I see him as just, so yeah, I think he knows. I think he knows everything. And I think he's just, I think he's dying just to do another movie.
Yeah.
Like,
I just picture him like sitting with his kids watching Rebels and being like, there I am.
Like that was me. That's me when I get older. That's crazy. They're talking about me right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I see him as just a huge fan, a huge nerd. And apparently that movie's like, they're not even talking about an Obi-Wan movie. Like it's ridiculous. Like I don't understand. And like what David says, it seems like a slam dunk for Lucasfilm and Disney to do an Obi-Wan standalone film with Ewan McGregor playing Obi-Wan.
I mean, I'd be there in a heartbeat. I just, for me, I don't know what that movie could be about.
Because
mm-hmm. he spent 20 years on Tatooine watching after Luke.
Mm-hmm.
That's, as far as we know, as far as lore goes, that's all he did other than a couple of things like out in the desert. Like he never left Tatooine after that because it would just be too dangerous for him.
Man, but they could do something. Like they could do a movie like about him, but not about him, to where he's there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that'd be pretty cool, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what Lucasfilm is doing, what Kathleen Kennedy. I think Kathleen Kennedy's job and her goal right now is just to get 9 out.
I think so too.
I that's why I think, when they said we're gonna put everything on hold, everybody freaked out. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, no, man, she's focusing 100%.
Yeah, because
on getting this one out.
Well, just think about all the stuff that's gonna spin out after 9.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the Johnson trilogy, mm-hmm. you've got the Benioff and
Weiss
stuff. Yeah. Sorry, had a little burp. the Benioff and Weiss stuff, which we don't know how many movies that's gonna be.
Yeah,
we don't know. I mean, we know it's not going to involve the Skywalkers. It's not going to have the Skywalker title to it. But, like, it could mirror the story of the new trilogy. It could mm-hmm. be between prequels and sequels. Like,
hey, we have no idea.
We have no idea. So she's probably also trying to make sure that Episode 9 is done right so that everything that comes after it can mm-hmm. fall into place easier.
I think that's, yeah, I honestly think that's exactly what she's doing. And I think everybody got all mad. They're like, what? They're not going to be working on it anymore. But now I'm like, well, that's a huge monumental task right there.
Right.
Episode 9. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
For all of us Star Wars fans, I mean, now we know Johnson's and Benioff and Weiss. But for us fans for a while there, we thought 9 was it.
Yeah.
Like, 9 is, that's it. We're done.
Well, and it was like Rogue One and the Solo movie were mm-hmm. just like sprinkles on the top of our sundae, basically.
Yeah,
it was all bonus stuff that we were getting to complement what we already knew and what we were going to find out.
Exactly. So for a lot of us, 9 seemed like the ultimate goal. Once 9 comes out, Star Wars is over. We'll get little bits, you know, little like Solos and Rogue Ones here. But now it's like, whoa, we're going to go further. But no, I don't think it's hopefully. I think we will. But I think she's like, Disney did push
Solo forward
when she said no, she wanted it in December. But now I'm thinking maybe that was a good idea. Maybe, what's his name? Bob Iger.
Yeah.
Was probably like, you need to focus on this movie. Like, I need you 100%
on that way she's not worried about the promotion of Solo and all of that kind
and
of
then
stuff.
Getting which I think why that's why Solo wasn't promoted as well, because they were still trying to get Last Jedi like kind of finished
out
with
the door out,
and like apparently she seems very hands-on, and she seems like she's always there with them, always making sure they're not messing up. So
I don't know. I've been waiting very patiently for Solo to come out on digital, because I unfortunately, and I think you as well, only got to see the movie the one time. Theaters. It just never worked out with my work schedule.
Me too.
To get it up to a theater and see it a second time. And I loved it the first time I saw I've been thinking about it almost nonstop for the last week, how it feels like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the one complaint that I sort of have about The Last Jedi, is it doesn't feel like Star Wars. You know what I mean?
My brother Matt, he said the same thing to me. He said, it doesn't feel like Star Wars. And I started thinking, you're right. It doesn't. It really, and I'll admit that 100%. It feels like a different movie.
Right.
Did I still enjoy it? Yeah,
Absolutely. And it still canon for me.
And it's but I see what you're saying. But with Solo, you're watching it, you're kind of like, this is Star Wars. This is pretty cool. And, you know, I had a conversation with Albert. I don't know if I remember. Uh-huh. Yeah, he was telling me that he liked Rogue One more because he felt that one was more like Star Wars than Solo
Rogue
was.
Rogue One is like nothing I've ever seen in Star Wars before, because it was so gritty. It was it was a war film at the very end, than it was a Star Wars film, which I really appreciated.
I love that they did
You know, I've talked about it on the podcast before, where Star Wars is such a cool universe. You can literally do any type of story that you want to do, a romance, a mystery, a war film, horror. Like, they're all possibilities.
And so where do you think Last Jedi falls into that?
Into
like what genre was he doing with that?
I think he was trying to go for, God, I couldn't even tell you, because it's sci-fi. It's you know, it's like we talked about last week. It's that fantasy sci-fi where it feels like, you know, Luke and Rey are wizards, and they're you know, and they're fighting bad, you know, the dark armies and all of this kind of stuff. It feels like that still, but it's got like a weird, like, ethereal plane to it, if that makes any sense. Okay. A lot of the stuff that was happening between Rey and Kylo Ren was kind of, it was more thinky than most Star Wars things are.
I think that's what it was, he was going for layer upon layer.
Right.
In a Star Wars film. Whereas the other ones, they were kind of, you know, Lucas is a fantastic writer. Look at the prequels. He actually wrote a fantastic movie each time, where I'm not going to say it was one dimensional, but he pretty much had this is the story I need to tell.
Right.
Like, we know this is what's going to happen to Anakin. We know he's going to be conflicted. We already know this. And so he could just hint at it and we'd be like, oh my gosh, yeah, there he is, conflicted. And then whereas Johnson was like, okay, let's go deep into each of these characters and let's really figure out like what is really happening and what this character needs to go through to get to the end of the film. And that's where a lot of people didn't like.
So maybe it was more, you know, it doesn't fit into that typical sci-fi genre, because it was more of a character study of Rey, of Kylo Ren, of Luke.
Yes.
And just really getting into their psyche and figuring out why they make the decisions they make and things like that. So I think we just figured it out, for me at least.
Like,
that it was more of a character study of these three characters in particular, to figure out what makes them tick and
why they made the decisions they did and how that's affecting everything.
Yeah, and there was like a mystery suspense element to it, where it was like, did Luke try to murder his nephew?
Yes, that was
did
so
he not
great.
Try to do it? It was just, it wasn't something you expect out of Star
Wars. Exactly. And I think that's where a lot of people got turned off, was that they were like, that's not how it's supposed to happen.
And that's what Johnson was going for, though, in my opinion. Like, I think he did what he said he was going to do, where it was like, this isn't going to be like any Star Wars you've ever seen before. And it wasn't.
And it wasn't at all. And like you said, it didn't feel like Star Wars. But I've gone there back
elements where my heart gets those flutters the same, yeah. Like the Battle of Crait, the battle in the throne room, things like that, where you're just like, yeah, man, lightsabers, lasers, I'm into it. But I'll let you go. I've interrupted you. Sorry.
No, no, you're good. I was thinking the other day. I went back and rewatched Last Jedi, and I when I first watched it, I did not like Haldo. I did not like it. Interesting. The first time I watched it, I didn't like her. I was really annoyed with her. And plus, I love Laura Dern. And right. So I was like, why did they do this with Laura Dern? This makes no sense whatsoever. And then I watched it again, and I watched the beginning of the movie, and I'm like, holy crap. Poe killed hundreds and hundreds of people at the beginning of this movie. And then when she says, you know, you were demoted. That's the last thing she did to you, Leia did. Yeah. And then she says, I know exactly the type of person you are. You're this, 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 which is exactly what we don't need right now.
Yep.
And I was like, holy crap, it all makes sense now. Like, I don't know. For some reason, it didn't hit me that she's not telling him because she doesn't trust him at all.
Right.
Because he completely went against what General Leia said.
Well, and she's also at the same time saying there's a time and a place for the character that you are right now, for your frame of mind. And this is not that time. This your frame of mind is let's sacrifice everything to get the outcome that we need to get.
Yeah.
But if we sacrifice everything, we have nothing to rebuild.
Exactly.
From.
And so
and the fact that he went through all of their bombers.
Yes, every single bomber.
Most of their A-wings, like,
it was nuts. I was like, he killed all the, like, I don't know how many troopers there are in each bomber, but he,
it looked like they were manned by two people, the bomber themselves and the pilot.
No, no, it's three. It's the bomber, the gunner on the bottom.
Oh, that's true.
And then the pilot. The so there's three people.
There's at least three in each one.
I mean, or two, depending on the co-pilot, but they all died.
Yeah.
Because Poe didn't listen. Because Poe kept going.
Because Poe was like, this is a chance to take out a big old ship.
But it wasn't worth it.
No, because then there came three bigger ships.
it was so... And then I think that's what Johnson was showing was, yeah, you took down that ship, but look what else you're up against. And that, if you think about it in the scheme of things, that didn't accomplish anything.
When he also... Johnson did this thing for me where he took the heroes of the first movie... Mm-hmm. And made them dicks.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily dicks, but took some of the he really magnified their flaws.
Yes.
Poe, we've already discussed that. Mm-hmm. Finn, where he was talking about how, you know, Finn wasn't in it for the rebellion. He was in it for his friend Rey.
Yes.
And that's it. That's all Finn cared about at the beginning of that movie.
Which is crazy, because the whole time I'm watching the Force Awakens... I'm thinking toward the end of the movie, Finn is like...
Rebellion through and through. But when you think about The Force Awakens, the only reason he wanted that planet to explode was because this one girl finally showed him a modicum of respect. Like, he's like, hey, you're a cool dude. Like, you deserve to not be a stormtrooper.
Exactly. And it was like, the Last Jedi starts. What's the first thing he yells when he wakes up?
Rey. Where's Rey?
Yeah. No, he says, Rey! And then the first thing he asks...
Where's
Rey? Yeah. He doesn't give a shit. Pardon my language, but he doesn't care about the resistance at all.
Now we're going to get that parental advisory.
Oh, I know.
Tag.
I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot, James.
I'm sorry. But it's true. He doesn't care at all about the resistance.
No.
And okay, so.
Dang it. I hate it when I call it the rebellion because it's the resistance.
But what's really cool is Luke renames it the rebellion. Yes. I was like, yes, Luke, get it.
But he did the same thing. So he did it with Poe, he did it with Finn. He didn't entirely do it with Rey, but he did kind of make you question her motives, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's very true.
And he did it big time with Luke.
I think that was... He needed to do that with Luke. Because I think about what The Last Jedi was to all of us, like, before the movie came out. What was going to happen with Luke when he took that lightsaber? Like, all this stuff was going through our heads. And it was so symbolic where he just tossed it. And that was... Johnson saying, hey, all those theories you had, just toss it right out the window.
They all wrong, bro.
They're all wrong. And so I was talking to our good friend, Albert. I got to work with him the other day. Like, I was like, hey, you're here.
Let's talk about
Star Wars. And we did. We just said it. And his wife had told me, we do not like The Last Jedi.
Interesting.
We don't like it. I was like, why? And then so he told me, he says, what's up with Snoke? Why did... That was so... He was built up so much. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, He wasn't even built up that much.
He was in two scenes in one movie.
Yes. And I said,
and that was it.
We built up Snoke. If you really think about it.
Johnson and Abrams didn't say anything about Snoke.
To them, Snoke was just a means to an end for Kylo Ren. They needed just this character for this part to the, and they get to the end. I don't think they really had this crazy. It's obvious now. They didn't think anything of it, and it's obvious if you really watch The Force Awakens. Snoke is in there a little bit. They talk about him a little bit, but it's mostly about Kylo. It's mostly about what's going on with Kylo Ren, and then you watch The Last Jedi, and then you figure out, oh, that's what was going on. The fans are what made Snoke
something.
Yeah, if you really think about it, not them. They didn't want anything with Snoke. What else was there that he said? I know I'm just going through picking on him. He's a great guy. He's a wonderful man.
And he always. It's interesting. He's one of those Star Wars fans where most of the time he says something, you may not even necessarily agree with what he says, but he's so passionate about it because it's Star Wars. It's one of those things where you just want to have a conversation with him about it because you're curious what he thinks.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Yeah, we're good.
One of the things that he... Hold on, I'll pause it. But yeah, one thing that he was telling me... Oh, and also Albert has an Imperial tattoo and a Rebellion tattoo. And I made a joke. I was like, you want to like scratch those off? He goes, yeah, now after The Last Jedi, I just want to scratch them. I think he was just messing with me.
Yeah, I'm sure he was messing.
But one of the things he said, and it's one of the things that when I watched it... I'm not going to lie. Okay, I love The Last Jedi, but I was turned off by a couple of things throughout the movie. But I still love the movie overall.
Right.
One of the things I was turned off by was Rose's kiss. And Rose not... And Finn not dying. Because even when I first watched it, I was kind of like, they're going to kill Finn. And then he doesn't die. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, that was kind of lame.
You wanted Finn to go out?
The way it was building up, I felt...
You expected him to
this
die.
If he's going to die, this is how they're going to one off.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah, exactly. And then when she kissed him, I was kind of like, well, I don't get it. That was weird. But then, like I said, I went back and I watched it again. And then I'm watching it. And then I see Poe looking... And it's almost like he's having a flashback of the beginning of the movie, and he's like, "No, wait, this is stupid.
Yeah,
we need to turn around right now." He says it. I think he says it twice. Rose tells him. I think Rose says it like a couple more times. Yeah. Finn, turn around,
freaking kamikaze.
And somebody was like, "But he was gonna fly right into it." I was like, "No, he wasn't." Yeah. They show it. They show his gun. Just melt.
Yep.
The front of his ship is melting. You know what would have happened if he hit that thing? Just poof.
Fly on a windshield.
Yes. And I was thinking about, I never saw the movie, but I saw the scene. Rain of Fire with Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey. Yeah. Did you ever see how Matthew McConaughey's character dies in that? Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry. Matthew McConaughey's character.
No, I can't say that I have.
He's like running and he like jumps up in the air with his axe and he's like yelling.
And then fire from a dragon.
And then a dragon just comes and catches him and flies away and eats him. That's it. And it was like this.
But that's what would have wound up happening because there wouldn't have been enough of his ship left to do any damage to that machine.
And he would have died. And it would have been the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
And I think Johnson would have done it the way it was supposed to happen, which is he's flying, it's that heroic moment, and then just poof.
Yep.
And
the crowd's just like, oh.
and then the crowd would be like, that was dumb of Finn. Mm-hmm. Why did Finn think he could do... Exactly. There was no way.
And instead they took out all their hate and anger on Rose.
On Rose for stopping him.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, she saved him. And she says, I saved you, dummy. Like, seriously, like, what did you think you were going to do?
Yeah.
Like, what did you... Like, it's almost like him going up against Kylo Ren with a lightsaber. We're all like, oh, man, this is pretty. And then
he's holding his own.
He's holding
his own. And the moment Kylo Ren turns it on, it's like, dude, you were holding your own. I was baiting you, man.
He was just letting you, like, hey, I'll mess with you a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, boom, done. So there's so many things that Johnson did with The Last Jedi, that we weren't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel, like I've said over and over again, it was absolutely necessary for the saga for that to happen. Like, I felt like it was nuts. But I felt like it was necessary.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I am not jealous of Rian Johnson for having the job that he had because man, he's gotten a lot of flack from the fans for what he did to the saga.
Mm-hmm.
And unnecessarily, in my opinion. You know, just because it wasn't your vision, you know, Disney didn't pay you to create your vision.
Exactly.
They created him to create his vision for the saga.
Yeah, they paid him to create the vision first.
Right.
And plus, he's a storyteller. Like, he studied film. I think he went to USC, the same as George Lucas. He knows what he's doing, man. Like, it's ridiculous. And the amount of flack he's getting, as I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is crazy. Like,
it makes me worried for his, like, it makes me worried that they're gonna, like, M. Night Shyamalan him, basically. You know what I mean? Like, M. Night Shyamalan, after, was it The Last Airbender, that movie that came out, he didn't make a movie for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Or if he did, it was very quietly. It like wrecked his career for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry that Johnson's going to have the same kind of lashback where he's going to keep making, you know, movies, his indie movie that's coming out soon, his new trilogy, and people just aren't going to see it because they're still pissed about one movie that happened. And to be fair, The Last Airbender is really, really bad. I watched it because I love Avatar, The Last Airbender, Nicktoon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
He ruined it.
It's one of the worst things I've ever sat through.
So a lot of people felt the same way about Last Jedi.
Yeah.
A lot of people were like, he ruined Star Wars. And I consider myself a pretty big Star Wars fan. I consider myself... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan.
It's weird.
It's, yeah.
I wouldn't have never guessed.
Right? Isn't that weird? I know. A lot of people don't know that when they meet me. So having said that, I loved The Last Jedi. I loved what Rian Johnson did with The Last Jedi, because if he would have done what we all expected him to do, it would have been boring. It would have been like, oh yeah, it was a cool action movie, but then if you really look at it, like, nothing really happens.
Nothing changed the storyline. Nothing progressed.
Yeah. You know, I go back to The Empire Strikes Back. Your hero of the first movie gets knocked out in the first 2 minutes of your film.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's, and then
interesting.
Yeah. For some odd reason, people were, now I think all it is with Empire Strikes Back is that we know Return of the Jedi is after that,
right?
So nobody yells at Empire Strikes Back anymore because we know, oh, the sixth movie's there. We can just always watch Return of the Jedi. Yeah. It's gonna be they save the day. It's wonderful, but you got to remember back in the day, a lot of people when they saw Empire were like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what happened to... Why did Luke get kidnapped? Why did Luke get all
butt-handed to him by,
like,
Vader?
Why didn't Luke defeat Vader? Like, why...
Right then and there.
Like this is so stupid, you know? And why didn't Leia go with Luke instead of... Like, this is dumb. But then it's like, but we all... Nobody has that argument because we know that there's Return of the Jedi.
And the Ewoks are going to take care of everything.
Take care of everything. See, nobody had that hindsight.
Nobody ever expects the tiny furry guys to, to fix all the problems.
Oh my gosh. If Abrams does that in 9, I'm going to be so pissed off.
I'm going to be so overjoyed.
I'm
going to
be
just...
so pissed off if he does that. Which I think after 9, I mean after 8, I think that's why. I think Abrams is going to do like... I think he's gonna. I don't know, man. I think he has like a whole, you know, playground to play with. Like, he's just gonna be like, here I go.
Yeah,
this is the movie. We're all gonna be like, what the hell? I think it's gonna be something pretty great. But yeah, what I really want to do is I really want to have a big debate with like on The Last Jedi with David. Like one day, I just want David and I to like go at like.
I feel like I could moderate because I do really enjoy The Last Jedi, but I don't disagree with a lot of the criticisms it gets.
Oh, no. Like, I read the criticisms and I go, okay, I see that. But then I read some of them, I'm like, you're just being stupid.
You're just whining. Right?
Yeah. Like, that's not even close to being...
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that bugs me about... Because we were talking about Snoke. I'm going to bring it back to Snoke for a little bit. Is there's... I wish there was more backstory for Snoke. How did he get to the position of power he was in? You know, they explain in some of the books, the Empire goes out to unknown space, and then the First Order comes back and starts infiltrating things.
I had read it was his knowledge was what made them gravitate toward him, was his knowledge of what's going on and what he can do with the galaxy.
And then his knowledge of the Force, too, is unlike anything we've seen until this point. So how much credence do you give to the fact that he says that he was the reason that mind link between Rey and Kylo Ren.
I believe it 100%.
100%?
Yeah. I don't think there's any, like, doubt. I believe he did that. I mean, why? What about you?
I don't know, because it always kind of played weird to me, because he's not in any of those visions. He's not in the background of Kylo Ren when he's having these visions. And mm-hmm. the first couple of times it happens, Kylo Ren's like, what the hell is happening? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you were going to do that with your apprentice, wouldn't you fill them in a little bit?
I don't believe that at all. I think he did it on purpose. I think he wanted to see what would happen with Kylo Ren. I think that was the whole deal. I don't think he gave a crap about Rey. What Rey was actually doing. I think he always knew, I'm going to get this information from Rey.
Right.
Anyways, I want to see what my apprentice does now. And he just did that. I think he did it all to test out his apprentice to see what was going on and what his choices were going to be. And
I mean, it bit him in the butt regardless of,
I mean, yeah, whether regardless, or
not he did it.
But then we don't know, like, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with Snoke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we don't know whether or not, like, Snoke's going to come back in 9. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he is. But I think
have you ever heard, so the old extended universe, the Legends universe, mm-hmm. What the Emperor did in that?
No.
So it's so ridiculous. A lot of the books are Luke and the New Jedi Order and stuff dealing with Sheev Palpatine clones. And every time you kill one of the clones, his spirit pops out of it and goes into the next clone.
Like a Horcrux?
Kind of like a Horcrux, yeah. it's ridiculous. But this is before Harry Potter came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you getting your ideas from, JK?
Yeah, what is up, man?
No, I'm just kidding. but yeah, he would just go from one clone to another. And eventually, I think they found where the clone factory was or something along those lines. It was ridiculous.
Did you ever, like, they were online. I don't know if they were legit or not, but have you ever, like, typed in synopsis of Star Wars 7, 8, and 9? Like, did you ever
Lucas's version?
Yeah.
I have not, no.
Apparently, there was this whole ordeal with the hand.
Luke's hand?
Luke's hand was being used by the Geonosians to clone another Luke Skywalker. Yeah.
Oh, you know, I had heard something about that.
It was
going to be like a dark Luke or something, right? Yeah.
And then, like, apparently the beginning of episode 7 and this draft was on Cloud City is now the training ground for the Jedi. And
Bespin?
Yes. And that an Imperial, like, ship comes in and these guys have, like, jetpacks on. They fly in and their armor looks like Vader's and they call themselves, like, the Vader worshippers. And that's who, like, they start killing. And, like, that was, like, that's what was supposed to happen.
That's silly.
But it's really weird that that was like what Lucas had in mind for that. Okay, let me ask you this question. How do you feel about Disney saying, thank you, Lucas, but we'll take it from here?
I'm good with it. Like,
do you think Lucas was okay with that? Or do you think Lucas was kind of like, you guys suck?
I think Lucas was like, thanks for a ridiculous sum of money that I can do whatever I want with now. I think Lucas was tired of getting flack for the prequels, and
it's insane it makes me so sad. Like,
I wish they kept him on as a consultant,
mm-hmm.
Because it is his story to begin with.
Oh yeah.
So you know, even if they made episode 7 and episode 8, and now they're making episode 9, I wish they would be like, so. Here's the script. What do you think?
Because mm-hmm.
You don't really hear any reports of that. You hear him showing up on set and being like, oh, cool. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. And what was it he said after he went to episode 8?
That was interesting.
It was interesting, yeah.
I was like, what does that mean?
But you don't hear him like having any input into it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know that I necessarily want to see his vision. Because like I've said many times with the prequels, his vision is kind of skewed. It's kind of like what I was talking about with George R. R. Martin the other day, where mm-hmm. it's been so long since he played in the universe and he messed with the characters, he's forgotten what their voices sound like.
I was watching somebody put it on YouTube from Puppets to Pixels, and it was mm-hmm. the documentary that was on episode 2 about the visual effects.
Okay.
About what they were doing and like what was that what's the Well, what do you know, guy from...
Dak.
No,
not Dak. It's Dex.
Crap.
Dex? Dex. Dex's Diner.
Yeah. And, like, the amount of, like, thought that went and like how much thought they were going into that character. Yeah. And he's only in the for one scene.
I believe his race is a basilisk.
That's from the from Harry Potter, the snake.
No, that's what their race is called. I mean,
I saw one of those popped up in Twilight Company.
Star Wars.
Twilight Company. I thought that was pretty cool.
And then there's one in the Clone Wars cartoons. He's a Jedi who starts working for the Separatists, and he's just like making the clones kill themselves in this battle over and over again.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it's awful. He's a terrible character. He looks cool, though.
What do you know?
What do you know? It's Obi-Wan.
I like that. You can tell me by telling me what this is, Dex. I don't know. Directed by George Lucas. Like, that's the end of the movie. But the amount of thought that Lucas was putting into the digital characters, and you can really see, like, what he was doing with this, and it was insane,
right?
What he was doing with that movie. I mean, we've said it before. You can't knock the skill he had for
the digitals of it, and the world building of it too. With the,
I don't think anyone's come close. I think Spielberg finally matched it with Ready Player One this past year.
And Avatar.
And Avatar. That's it. No one else has been able to do what Lucas did with. Three movies.
One, two, and three. Yeah.
Like, it was ridiculous. And then you can really see,
and
like...
And I can go back and watch episode one, two, and three. I'm never going to go watch Avatar again, probably.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, Ready Player One, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I need to see it again. Some of the visuals were spectacular in Ready Player One, though. Like, the
Shining.
Yeah, the Shining scene. The race car scene is pretty great. The scene where... God, the creator of the Oasis,
Halliday,
when he's talking to the main guy's avatar, and you're like, is he CG right now, or is he actually acting? Oh my gosh, some of that stuff I was like, this is incredible.
And all of that is thanks to George Lucas.
Episode one and Attack of the Clones,
I think, was the huge, a lot of people consider, you know, Phantom Menace like a big moment,
right?
But if you really think about what happened with digital effects, it was Attack of the Clones that really shot everything.
The one thing, my one complaint with that though, is there's not enough substance to those to those graphics. You can tell it's people pretending. I showed my fiance the scene where Anakin and Padme are eating, and he brings the fake fruit over and pretends to cut fruit. Like, you can tell if there was no computer graphics there's clearly nothing. They're not working with fruit at all.
And then he like takes the puts the slice back to her,
and she like stabs it all awkwardly into the air, and then takes a big old fake bite out of it, and the bite doesn't match the amount that she would have actually taken off.
And it was like, you know, he went crazy there, but you know, he was
trying to do something that had never been done before, so much respect to him. But you know, they need to blend the visuals with substance. You can't have, you just shouldn't shoot a movie with real actors and a bajillion blue screens or green screens in this case.
It was green screens, but that's one thing I think that Abrams did with The Force Awakens, where the opening shot, you see the planet, you see the ship come up through and, you know, cover the planet, which was really great.
Such a cool shot.
And you see the ships come by, and then it cuts to the interior, and you're like, those are 100% real dudes in suits there.
Yeah, sitting in a pit with a guy lording over them. And
I was like, what in the world? And then you see BB-8 roll up at the beginning of Force Awakens. I was like, that's not a digital BB-8. Nope. That's 100% real. What's happening?
You just have to figure it out. It's a balance between digitals and practicals. And
I think Abrams heard the cry of the people. Yeah. I think Abrams was like, all right, let's... But one thing I like that Abrams says is, you know, even though we did a lot of things in this movie, there's a ton of visual effects in The Force Awakens. There are.
Oh, yeah, like, of course there is. Because
there's insane amounts of visual effects.
Well, because you can't fly an X-Wing in real life. You just can't do it.
No.
You can't blow up a planet in real life and just... It just doesn't happen normally.
Exactly.
You can record it and...
But one thing that I think what George Lucas was doing was he wanted to have no boundaries with the prequels, which he didn't. But the problem with those boundaries were like there's the limit.
Yeah, and he was way past it.
Yeah, he was like really passing up the limit.
Because episode two, I've said it before, the graphics in episode one are better than episode two.
Mm-hmm.
Episode two, you watch it now, it is, you might as well be watching the Clone Wars.
Well,
the cartoon.
And then plus the amount of time that was spent on episode one was ridiculous. Like that movie had to be perfect. Which visually it is. It's that pod racing stuff still to this day. I'm like, this was made almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, and it looks hyper realistic.
How did they do that? And then whereas after 99, then what was it, 2002? So 99. That
sounds right. Yeah.
So then you got kind of not a rush, but kind of like not as much time as you were.
Right.
So with episode two, you could tell like it was a little bit more rushed, even though it was bigger.
Right.
It was still pushed a little bit
faster. And they didn't have sets in episode two.
No, they didn't.
There's like three sets in that whole movie. It's the dinner scene, the one scene where they're rolling around in the, you know, in the grass. Everything else is blue screen, I think. I can't think of another scene in that entire movie where I'm pretty sure they were on a set. Parts of the Colosseum had practical effects with it.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it is all green screen all the time in that movie.
But then, you know, you got to look at George Lucas and his way of thinking, and he says, you know, I don't ever want to see the original movies
redone
the
way they were.
The way they were. Yeah. I never want to see them.
I only want to see my new cut of
it. And then you got to look at the way he comes in to build his sets, and he's like, why do I have to do that? I can just do this.
I can just make it with a computer.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I could see where he was going for it. But did you ever hear what James Cameron said? If he had the technology he has now when he did Titanic, he said, I would not have done the kiss on the bow of the ship with a real sunset like we did. I would have digitally done it.
See, and that's trash.
It's trash, yeah. But then you got to think, well, have you ever heard the story? I know we're going to get into it weird. I love the movie Titanic. Did you ever hear the story about that the kiss on the bow of the ship of Titanic? Okay, so they had like, they set aside 3 nights, like right sunset to do it.
Okay.
The first night, overcast. The second night, same thing, overcast. And the third night, it was like, it was raining and they're like, we're never
going to get this shot.
And then they said, out of nowhere, the sun just shone and all the clouds cleared away and they're like, everybody get up. And they say Kate Winslet was running up to the front. the makeup people are throwing all the stuff on her.
That's amazing.
And they said, we had it tracked. We yelled action and we did it. He says, but it's a little bit out of focus, but that's the shot we used.
That's the only one they were able to
get. And he goes, we did it one more time, but it wasn't as great. And he says, and that's how we did it. And so hearing that story,
he's probably the only person in the world who's like, it was out of focus.
Sure,
everybody else is like, that's a perfect shot.
That's a beautiful shot. But I think it works because it's a beautiful moment in the movie. It's the first time they kiss and blah, 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 blah. But hearing that story.
Stop. James, it's okay. You can cry.
I know.
You don't have to.
I'll never let go, Jack. So I've helped with films and I've done stuff. And when that sun starts going down, man, it is like, holy crap.
We got to go.
We got to go. And then so to hear him say, I would have done it digitally. I'm like, I get it.
Yeah, I understand why 100%. He would do it. But if you don't have to, why would you? You know what I mean? Like, because it's if you've got something that the audience can grasp onto and feel like it feels real. It feels like a moving picture as opposed to a moving two people sitting in front of a moving, you know what I mean? Like in front of a moving cartoon. it's better. It's better for the audience.
But then, yeah, it's better for the audience. But then think about it this way. If you have the tools, why not utilize them?
So I think
that's what George was really doing with
the prequels. And I understand that, but in a way, not that he has to respect the audience, but in a way, by going away from practical events, effects, I should say. I don't know why I said events. I got excited.
That was weird.
That's a different E word. I just go through the glossary in my head.
Extravagant.
But by going away from practical effects and, you know, taking your audience out of the moments going, that's CG, this is CG, that's clearly CG, it's kind of a slap in the face of the audience. It's disrespecting the people that are paying the money to see the product that you created.
But then part of me, I get it. 100%. I get it. Even like now, the Avengers movies, I'm still like, that's not even close to being real. Right. Like how
Peter... Well, and the graphics in the like Infinity War are amazing up until like the last 2 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Where it's like clearly they just like took Bruce Banner's head and put it on the Hulkbuster.
Yeah, it was like,
this looks so good all movie and now it looks like garbage. Yeah, what are you guys doing?
What were y'all thinking with that? Whereas I get what you're saying. It's a slap in the face.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, Star Wars is known for its monumental breakthrough with visual effects, special effects, back in 77 and then back, you know, in 80 and 83. And so I can see where George was like, okay, that was huge then. Let me see what the now that what toys do I have now that I can use to tell the story the same way I did back in 77.
So, but the thing with the with that is, yes, it was visually groundbreaking in 77.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 80 and 83? But a lot of those effects, the reason they were so groundbreaking was because of how realistic they looked, because they were practical, most of them.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So when you take what you did well out of it and make it all animated and all computer graphics, it's amazing. I don't want to say I hate it, but it just, it takes me personally out of episode two in particular, where I'm just like, why did they even cast actors in this movie? You know what I mean?
I remember when episode two had come out, they had taken a picture with George Lucas next to the digital camera. And my mind was like, my head exploded.
Yeah.
Because I was like, is this really what the future is for film? Even at a young age, I was like, this is weird. Did you ever hear like the big controversy though? Like whenever Lucas said, I'm never doing film anymore, I'm doing digital. Like, people in Hollywood were like, you're dumb.
Yeah.
Like you're stupid. Now everybody does digital. But he was the first one. I think
he was the first one to go to it. Yeah.
I think Robert Rodriguez also was like, hey, if Obi-Wan Kenobi is doing digital, I'm going to do digital. That's what he said. And so anyways,
but that's the other thing. Like Robert Rodriguez in particular, like made his mark with El Mariachi, like a super low budget movie where the effects were trash, but they didn't need to be good because the story was there.
And then you get to Spy Kids.
Yeah. Anyway, I haven't really seen Spy Kids, if I'm going to be totally honest with you.
It's a fun
movie. The first two I hear are pretty good.
Yeah, it's a fun film.
The third one's supposed to be not very good.
Yeah, but then what happened?
But then, you know, the base was the story and the characters and things like that. Episode two, the base is not the story and the characters, it's the graphics. And again, that's a slap in the face for the audience, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can see what you mean, but I don't know, man. Like, he did pour a lot into each of those movies.
No, I don't want to take away from I'm just saying my reason for not liking episode two very much is because of... There's nothing to hold on to realistically.
Yeah, true. I remember they were like digital cameras. I was like, this movie's gonna look weird, and it did. It looked weird, but at the same time, back in 2002, it was like, holy crap!
Well, and again, that movie in the theater looked amazing.
Yeah,
I remember seeing that and seeing Yoda walk up to a clone trooper. When he's talking about moving to the forward command post and blah, 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 and being like, this, none of that is real, but it looks so good. My mind is literally blown right now. And then I got home and I threw on the DVD and I was like, this does not look as good as it did in the theater.
There was the one shot in the movie that I was like, this doesn't look great. It's the shot where Anakin jumps into the speeder at the beginning of the movie. And he reverses back.
Why does he reverse?
And then he flies forward. The fact, just how weird it looked, because it's really Hayden Christensen sitting in that, but nothing is real around him. And they pull it back. That was the only part that bothered me the whole time when I first watched
it. In theater.
Yeah. I was like, that was bizarre. But I loved the fight. I loved the
In theaters, I loved that movie. But it wasn't until I got home and I was just like, dude, this does not look. I don't know. Maybe I'm watching it on the wrong setting on my TV or something. But the scene that always bothered me, regardless of whether or not I saw it in theaters or not, is when Anakin and Padme are in the field and he's riding the cow thing.
That's the worst.
And it's just like, this looks terrible. It just looks terrible.
And plus, those creatures look like dust mites. You know what I mean? Like they look, they yes. look, they look so. It's like, why? Why was that the choice, Lucas? Like you could have picked anything, but he's like, let's pick these things.
Yeah.
I will say that the Yoda fight was pretty cool, and you know what was really awesome was watching the making of that. Like I said, for picture from Pixel puppets to pixels.
Yeah.
One of the things that I loved was they were talking about how to get, how does like. He reaches in and pulls out the lightsaber, mm-hmm. and Lucas was like, well, what if he moves aside the thing
calls
to reveal
him.
The lightsaber, and then he calls it to him, and I was like, Lucas, that was a damn good idea you did there.
And it looks cool.
And it looks freaking
when
amazing.
You think about it in the moment, you're like, that's so impractical.
Why?
You're like, I can use the Force. Check it out. It's just, I look super cool.
Right I thought now. It was, I still think it's the,
I still
the
think
most
it looks
amazing
awesome.
Thing in the whole world. And there was a few other things where I'm watching and I'm like, man, that was Lucas's idea. Like that was,
yeah,
that was amazing. That was a really cool choice. And apparently the shot in Solo that, Lucas had a say in was not a say, but he said, you know, it'd be pretty funny
if you did it this way.
It was, when they're in the cape room and she has the cape and I think they originally had him like pick it up and like hang it on the thing. But he says, Han would just like grab it and just
toss it.
And then Alden Ehrenreich said that when they did that, he said George Lucas acted out that scene.
That's funny.
And he says for a second, I was like, Han Solo came from him.
He says, Han was in your brain at some
point. I could tell right there that you were Han Solo because he says Harrison Ford has said that, you know, it was George's idea for
right.
Han Solo. Like it was George's, like everything I did was his idea for what Han Solo was supposed to do. And so when Alden Ehrenreich said that, I was like, well, that's really cool. That means that a lot of those things that we like about Harrison Ford in the first Star Wars was George Lucas like
right.
telling him, like, this is what you're going to... This
you
is
should
how
walk around like
you
this.
You should walk around like this. And I've seen the making of it where they're with Ahmed Best for episode mm-hmm. one, and he was, like, doing a walk, and then George Lucas was like, no, it's like this. And then he did the
he
walk.
He, like, physically does it for
and
him.
It was like... Well, that's how the walk came about.
Yeah.
Was George Lucas was like, this is how you're going to walk, man. And I think a lot of people don't realize that with George, with the making of all of these movies, was like, yeah, we hear these stories where he was kind of like not standoffish, but like
he let the actors do their thing, really.
But then
yeah.
he also was like, he kind of was the maker of it all.
Well, and I wonder if maybe he, like, because episode 1, 2, and 3, he had like names in those movies.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. 4, 5, and 6, those people didn't, like, you know, none of those people were big Hollywood names at that point.
The only one who was big was Peter Cushing, and then Carrie Fisher because of her name.
Because of her lineage,
yeah.
not because of
not
what
because
she
of her
had done,
yeah.
not because of her accomplishments. So I wonder if he was like, look, you kids don't know what you're doing. I made a handful of movies at this point. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when he gets on there with Ewan McGregor and Natalie Portman and Liam Neeson.
Jeez.
That cast is insane, by the way.
That cast, I don't know. No, we said it the other week. Nobody really realizes how huge that cast was.
And Samuel L. Jackson
yes.
and Frank Oz. And I mean, he'd already worked with Frank, but.
And then you had Ian McDiarmid come back as Ian. As
the Emperor and all of that kind of stuff. But when you think about it, I wonder if he was, like, intimidated by their resumes.
Oh, okay. I see
because, you know, Natalie Portman was already Natalie Portman at that mm-hmm. time. She already had been in a ton of movies. I mean, Leon the Professional alone.
And plus, she was huge on Broadway at that point. Like, she was big on Broadway.
Interesting.
Because, yeah, sorry, go on.
No, you're okay. And then Ewan McGregor had already been...
Trainspotting.
But, like, critically acclaimed
yeah.
movies that were talking about how great of an actor he is.
And then Liam Neeson was Schindler. Oscar
yeah, he's
Schindler.
He's freaking Schindler. He's Liam Neeson. Like, come on.
And it was nuts. Like, that
And
cast...
so I wonder if... In 4, 5, and 6, he was more hands on as a director because he didn't trust the performance he was going to get from those actors.
Okay.
And in 1, 2, and 3, he was like, "Well, I mean,
you guys know
these guys are going to win Oscars at some point. I'm
just gonna
focus on the effects."
Yeah, okay, I see what you're saying.
And that's because if you think about it, there's not a lot of directing as far as acting goes in those movies.
Yeah.
It's also crazy. He's got Keira Knightley as an extra.
Yeah, Keira Knightley was
like
an extra
a strong extra
in that movie.
But an extra.
You know, Sofia Coppola was also
one of the handmaids.
The handmaids,
really?
And I think even Roman Coppola, which is Coppola's son, was also one of the officers.
That's insane.
It was like, it's like you have all of these people who are huge.
I mean, it's the same thing as putting like Prince William and Prince Harry in stormtrooper outfits, but and Daniel Craig as a stormtrooper, like
that was you know the story about that cameo, right?
The Daniel Craig cameo. Daniel
Craig cameo. They were filming. They were filming Spectre, mm-hmm. like that's and the, at Elstree,
right?
Studios and Pinewood Studios. Sorry,
Pinewood. Yeah,
Elstree is like I think the city where it is. Maybe I don't know.
Anyways, live in England.
Pinewood Studios was where they were filming, and that he. On lunch break of Spectre, like only he and Abrams and like I think somebody else knew about it. He like left for lunch, walked onto the set. They put the stuff on him. He shot the stuff, and then he went back and he just kept filming amazing. For Spectre. And nobody caught that he had left to go do that.
He was probably real hungry though.
Oh man, but you know what, dude? If somebody says. Hey,
do you want to have a random ass cameo in Star Wars?
Like, yeah,
I would love.
I would love. What am I gonna do? This? I don't care.
I'll do that all day. Yeah. How many takes do you need?
I'm
sure they did it in like one or two takes.
Yeah, knowing Craig, he probably like walked in, boom, 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 out the door.
Did Daisy Ridley know it was Daniel Craig?
I don't know. I want to look that up whether or not she knew it was him. But I don't know because Daniel Craig. A lot of people don't know this about Craig is that he can. His voice actually, he can go different places with it. Like, did you ever see the movie Road to Perdition?
Can't say that I did.
Well, he does an American like accent in that movie. Mm-hmm. And to the point when I saw him like later on, I was like, oh, he's not American. He's the hell out
British.
Of here. Yeah. But anyways, back to Deadpool. if you don't know, that's our little.
What were we talking about?
What were we talking about? Oh, about the actor, the caliber of the actor.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I wonder if that's why, because you know, a director should really. Direct their actors mm-hmm. and I have a feeling he was like that's why he was able to do with Ahmed Best because Ahmed Best was a nobody at mm-hmm. that time and you see shots with him talking to Jake Lloyd and him talking to Hayden Christensen and mm-hmm. stuff like that because neither of one of them were like
big
well
big,
known big yet at that point mm-hmm. but for like Ewan McGregor you see him having a conversation with Ewan McGregor and then like Ewan McGregor just continues doing whatever he's doing you know what I mean
yeah.
So I wonder if that could be a factor in the performances because you know there's a ton of stupid talented people in, that, in those movies.
All of it, like in every like, it was nuts. It was nuts how many people.
Which is why when they brought them back 7, 8, and 9, and Rey was an unknown actress, and Finn had been in one movie that I had known about beforehand, mm-hmm. and. I mean, Oscar Isaac is Oscar Isaac.
Oscar Isaac was already Oscar Isaac.
You know, I was excited because the two leads don't have a huge resume.
Yes. And especially Rey. Like, Rey had no...
She was in, like, a commercial, I think.
Yeah, and it was like, who... And Finn, of course, Finn, Attack the
Attack
Block.
Attack the Block. Holy so crap. Awesome. But that character is not Finn.
Yes.
That character is very the opposite of Finn.
I like that Abrams kind of went for that. And, I know that Coppola had told Lucas to go for unknowns,
mm-hmm.
but Lucas still casted people who were known but weren't big.
Crazy big.
Whereas Mark Hamill had done TV shows. Harrison Ford had done, I think American Graffiti
and
may have been
like
his
a
first.
Very small role in American Graffiti, right?
And then Carrie Fisher was Carrie Fisher.
Right.
And so it was like he casted these people and Coppola was like, you should have gone for the stage. I think that's what he told him. You should have gone for stage and other low. Like,
right.
Not what you've done. And did you ever hear what Alan Ladd Jr. said? Alan Ladd Jr. was the only person at Fox who trusted George Lucas. No, he trusted George Lucas. He didn't trust the story.
Right.
He was like, I would have lied if I told you I think Mark Hamill's a great choice or that Harrison Ford would be a great Han Solo. He says,
I'd be lying to you, but I trust George Lucas to make the right call.
But he was saying, amazing. Like, he was like, I didn't think it was going to be a good cast. I was like, holy crap. I'm glad that So the story goes with Alan Ladd Jr. was that he was a fan of George Lucas. He had seen THX 1138 and American Graffiti, and he was like, this kid has something. And he went up to him and said, if whatever you're going to do next, I want to be there to help you. I got this thing called Star Wars I want to do. And he was like, oh, crap.
Oh, man, I opened my mouth too soon.
I'll do the next thing that you want to do. But
he risked his neck big time for that.
If you ever, like, watch, like, what happened, like, each meeting they'd had about the movie, he would have to go in there and give a report about it. And the executives there called it that space movie. We've heard enough about George Lucas and that space movie. And he calls them up and he says, hey, if you don't have the movie done by Monday when I have to give the meeting, they're going to shut you down. So finish that movie. And like I think a week they went, phew, and they finally finished Star Wars.
That's so stressful.
I know, right? It makes me stressed.
My stomach is tense thinking about it.
I'm telling you, if ever I become a big Hollywood director or producer, I want to make a movie about the making of Star Wars. I think that'd be a great...
I think it'd be interesting at the very least. Yeah,
and then like it ends with everybody, all the kids' faces as they watch the screen. I think that would just be the best movie ever. Lucasfilm, I just gave you a really good idea, so I'm just going to... On that note.
Copyright James Ferreira, Star Wars Stuff Podcast.
But 2018. Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything else to report today?
No, I mean, I brought stuff to talk about, but you know, we didn't need it.
We did pretty good.
So hopefully the next time we meet, we'll have a solo commentary. I know we said we would last week, but it's just not going
to
happen.
Yeah, sorry for y'all who are looking forward to that.
So yeah, we'll do fun stuff in the future.
Yes.
Thank you guys for listening, though, for sure. We appreciate every single one of you folks out there.
Oh, and I got called out on YouTube.
Oh, yeah?
I did. I made a statement that Anakin and Grievous had met in the Clone Wars, when in fact they never did meet in the Clone Wars or in the cartoons. They never actually had a scene together. I was told that on YouTube. Somebody,
I'm going through those right now, so I'll let you know for sure. They've definitely interacted during the Clone Wars because Grievous could tell whenever General Skywalker was running, was running the show.
But I don't think they ever met
in person though.
Because if they did, that'd be a huge discrepancy with Revenge of the Sith. Yeah. But yeah, somebody on YouTube pointed out that we were wrong. And I was like, all right, I was wrong. So if you're listening, I admit it.
Retractions and apologies.
Yes. But everyone else for listening, thank you very, very much. And we'll be back next week. And may the Force be with you.
Always.